Hello and welcome to a bonus edition of the Alabama Football Podcast. This episode is the quick hit for the Texas A&M game. So I want to run through about five things and then talk about the Zoom call that we had yesterday morning. Sort of intro that here as well. So let's jump into this. Yesterday, as sort of events unfold, at the time of the Alabama kickoff, I was watching fifth grade football here in Paulding County, Georgia. And so daughter's in the cheer, and so, which is phenomenal. We certainly enjoy that, but definitely watched the game on about a 5-6 hour delay. And so as you guys were reveling in the victory, I was just watching A&M come back and tie it up at 14 and realize, hey, might be in for a long night. But obviously we all know what happened from there. So let's hit just some quick points. We'll sort of explode these out in the full show, but just some quick thoughts from the game. And so I'm going to quickly run out of nice things. So number one, you know, Mac Jones, I'm going to quickly run out of nice things to say about him, because he's just going to reach sort of that level of stature, so to speak. His poise in the pocket, his accuracy downfield are really impressive. He had some nice throws where it really did look like, you know, he was reaching out and running down there and just putting the ball in the receiver's hands. Mechie had a couple of nice grabs there. We'll talk about him in just a minute. But Mac is demonstrating a little bit of a swagger too, and I think that's that's him really stepping into that leadership role and that ownership role. And so I think we're going to see him. Quite frankly, if we see the same Mac for the rest of the season that we saw in the first two games, I think we'd all sign up for that. But I think we're going to continue to see him progress and develop. And, of course, we're going to play some tougher opponents as well. But I think that we are seeing from Mac Jones more than we were expecting. Even those amongst us who were bullish on his play are bullish on him taking the mantle of the starter role and building upon his stats from last year. Even those of us who took that position, and I would consider myself in that camp, I think we're blown away with what we're actually seeing. We're not seeing him string together a pretty good game. We're seeing him go out there and dominate. I hesitate to call it Tua level because that's a recency bias, and, you know, Tua is sort of the top of the food chain there. But he did go out. Mac did go out yesterday and have the fourth highest yards in a game in all of Alabama history. If you told me that was the fourth highest game in the last 3 years, that would be pretty damn impressive. But you're talking to me in all of the history of Alabama football that he put up the fourth highest. That's pretty darn impressive. And so I think we're going to continue to see more of Mac. Mechie, you know, I think we had long predicted that he would be the number three receiver. And I think he's doing that, at a higher level than we were expected. There's a little sort of tit for tat here as the quarterback has outstanding play. Someone has to catch those balls. And so Mechie's doing that. We thought Mac would do well at the position. We thought Mechie would sort of carve out that third role. I think he's doing a little bit more than that. I think he's also proven sort of the mantra that you can't cover all of them. And so, you know, Devonta and Waddle, they certainly had their moments yesterday, more so Waddle, but definitely they've had their moments. And so Mechie really sort of burst on the scene because you start to think about how do they cover all of the receivers, especially if they're going to stack up against the run, which is sort of Elko's defense. Chad told us about that, right? And so when we know that they're going to stack up against the run, it becomes really challenging to cover, you know, all of the receivers. And I don't know if I said this in in sort of the Zoom call, but I woke up Saturday morning thinking that Mechie might have him a day, and it certainly did. I did think that we would see Javon Baker. We didn't, at least not that I could see on the TV. I think we will see him, but Mechie is the name that popped. He's the name that is going to resonate across Bama fans, and I think his sort of explosive presence Saturday is what we were predicting what we were certainly hoping for. I think the level at which he took the top off was probably a little bit surprising, but certainly exciting. Let's move on to number three, and we'll flip the field a little bit and got to talk about Malachi Moore. He really showed out on Saturday against Texas A&M. I think he played well against Missouri, but I don't think he had any sort of pop plays. I think, you know, the only time that really he may have registered is on the penalty, which wasn't even that bad of a penalty. But he showed plays Saturday against Texas A&M, blocked some balls, made some really aggressive tackles at the point of attack. And so I think Malachi Moore is going to be a player that is going to continue to develop. I think I see a little Minka in him, and that might be some of the highest praise that I have, especially for a true freshman in the secondary. I know there's similarities in the fact that they're playing the same position, but I think there's some similarities. If you look at Malachi's, you know, body type compared to Minka as a freshman, and then we saw how Minka developed through his 3 years. I think some of the not the specific tats on the arm, but just that there are tats on it. I just think there's similarities, right? And when I see him sort of streaking across the field, if he was wearing 29, I might think it's 2015 all over again. But he's going to be definitely one to watch, and I have on good record. If you're watching my tweet record, that his parents call him Kai, and so we'll start. I'll get over saying Mal Moore starting at star for Alabama, and we'll start to call him Kai because he is earning his sort of designation of choice, if you will. And he's going to be fun. He's going to be a fun one to continue to watch. Number four, this is the enigma. This is the Saban, sort of classical Saban enigma. Can't say it, but I mean it. We're talking about Daniel Wright here. He's a player that, you know, go back in time with me last year after the New Mexico State game. You know, I told a story about running into someone who works in the football office at sort of a bar stool in a restaurant downtown, and just ended up just talking ball. And, you know, Daniel Wright had played a little bit in that game. So we talked, I think he actually maybe had started in that game. Definitely had played a lot in that game, New Mexico State last year. And so we talked about him and, you know, he said things and from an insider perspective that kind of aligned with where my head was, and still is on Daniel. Called him, you know, incredibly talented, super talented, but will take plays off, will freelance a little bit. And that just doesn't mesh well with Saban. We've all seen, you know, the DBs that freelance and have the big plays, and they're sort of stars for that. And I think Daniel Wright wants to fashion himself in that mold, but that doesn't fit in those Saban systems. Saban's all about it, you know, team defense. We're going to sort of cover for one another, overlapping. I don't want to say overlapping, lapping responsibilities so much as our responsibilities butt up, so that there are no gaps. And if someone freelances or misses an assignment, what's the difference, right? Because you create a gap, you create a hole, you create an opportunity. We did see Daniel Wright play more physical. He led the team in tackles against Missouri, but, you know, I thought someone, I can't remember who I read, but someone made the comment that those tackles all came to him, that he didn't pursue them, so to speak. He wasn't not necessarily the aggressor, and I thought that was a really good characterization. Even though he netted out 11 tackles, I thought Saturday he was more of the aggressor. I think he came in and laid some wood. But one of the more frustrating plays that he made was along the sideline. He should have. I can't even think. It's the Smith guy. First name I don't have pronunciation in front of me, so I don't want to butcher it. But nonetheless, right down the sidelines, Daniel Wright bumped him. And you think, well, he's just going to go out of bounds. But he didn't. The player, you know, resolve, tenacity, balance. He did not go out of bounds. And so that's a play where, and I don't know what's going on in Daniel Wright's head. Is he just, I'm going to do just enough to sort of make the play, and it turns out it wasn't enough? Did he not want to, you know, crash the guy into the sideline and risk getting a flag? I don't know. But you somewhere between there, there's a lot of middle ground there where you wrap him up and you know that you have him in your arms and you are standing on the sideline, then you know he's out of bounds. And I think that's, he's going to get sort of a stern talking to. about that. I'd reached the point in the game where I thought he might need to watch for his starting job. Brian Branch in camp has played really well. DeMarco Helms has really come on. And I got to thinking, you know, Daniel Wright may benefit by Ronald Williams' broken arm more than anyone else, because I think he might be, Ronald might be more poised to come in and play that free safety position. I think we could put Helms there, but then when you go to a dime, you know, what do you do? And do we have someone sort of ready to play that dime? And so you played sort of the shell game of who's better, you know, Helms at, you know, there's some drop off, Daniel to DeMarco at the free safety. And then who would be the nickel, or that rather the dime behind DeMarco? And so you have a little bit of drop off there. And so it's a little bit of sort of associative math that you're doing there to figure out what truly is the best, you know, five or six guys on the field, depending upon, you know, the circumstances. I think Ronald Williams sort of is an X factor in that equation, his inability to go due to a broken arm. So let's see how the second half of the season, if he comes back and he sort of asserts himself, let's see if Brian Branch asserts himself either as a free safety or as that dime back, which may release DeMarco to come up and play, the free. And so all of that is sort of rattling around in my head. And then what does Daniel Wright do? He freelances just a little, but I think he baits a pass and then he runs it down the sideline. And as he's running it down the sideline, you know, my wife and daughter both comment, "God, how fast he is." And it's true. Daniel Wright truly is an athlete. And so I think that's going to be something there to watch. I'm not rooting for him not to play. But you think about the whole, you know, Saban wants to set the floor. And we talked about this on the Zoom call. We've talked about it on the podcast before, right? If Saban knows his floor, then he knows what he can build on. If he doesn't know what the floor is, then you can't build on it. It's a lot more challenging to build on. And so I think that's where that, if there's anything that kept Saban up last night, it's going to be a little bit about, Daniel Wright, come on, you got to help us out, buddy. We need to know what the floor is. We need to know what we can count on, play to play, possession to possession. And you're going to get some really good stuff from him, the baited interception, some of the really physical tackles, but you can't have the sloppy lack of tackle that led to a touchdown. We've seen those types of plays cost us games. And there was a moment where A&M tied it up where, you know, some teams would fold. Some teams, it would be a contest for the rest of the game. Alabama took that as a challenge. And obviously, you know, we saw the rest of the game. But that's going to be an interesting to watch, interesting thing to watch there. And then the fifth thing I want to call out, and I think Garrett Danielson a little bit beat me to the punch, but on the broadcast, but you know, made the comment that if there's anything really to watch for on this Alabama game, it's the running game, because it just doesn't, you know, appear to be there. And that is a true statement. I don't think it takes into account all of the variables. And so I want to talk about the running game in the context of, you know, more of the variables. So a couple of things are true. The running game hasn't gotten off the way that we hoped that it would. You know, Najee was right at 100 yards against Missouri, so we'll take that. And he had, what, three touchdowns? He had two touchdowns against A&M. So a touchdown, man, he is on pace. But he was, you know, 40, 50 yards on the game, which is a low number in the running game. So I think a couple of things are true. I think both Missouri and A&M really stacked up to defend the run. And I think they both took the mentality of, we'll let this Mac Jones guy, who we're probably still a little bit unsure of, we'll let him beat us. We'll sort of force him to beat us with the pass. We're going to stock up against the run. And what we're seeing is Mac is capable of beating teams and when sort of left in that position. So I think we're going to see, and even in that case, we saw Najee come really close a couple of times to busting it. If you saw him sort of weave his way, there were a couple of times where he was tackled just almost shoestring right before he was about to hit some green real estate. And you saw a couple of times he would pound the turf because he knew, I'm that close to breaking one. And so I don't think a talented running back gets that close to breaking one without eventually breaking one. And I think once you break one, you start to see more. So I think the path is there all else being equal. The trick is, and this is, I think, exciting, not all else is equal. We've got two teams that have stacked up to beat the run, and Mac has to beat the run and let the pass beat, and Mac has beat them, and Mac has clearly demonstrated that he can beat teams with his arm. So I think we're going to start to see a little bit of an inflection point. We're going to start to see teams have to truly account for the pass. And so that will sort of dial down at least a little bit some of Mac's performance. But I think that's going to open up the running game. And so it's going to be the balance is there. The numbers aren't visualizing it yet, but that doesn't mean the balance isn't there. The talent and the balance absolutely is there. It's just what is the opponent taking away? And so right now they're taking away the run. I think they're going to shift, even just a little bit. I think they're going to shift. You know, maybe they don't pull the safety as close into the box, and I think that's going to start to open up some running lanes. That's going to be a real subtle thing to watch over the next couple of weeks. Certainly, something I look forward to tracking. I might also say Ole Miss helps us get healthy in that regard too. I think their defense is not as strong as what we've seen. So that'll be good. So yes, watch for the running game to pick up. It's there. It's not that it's not there. It's there. The line is good. The running backs are good. It's there. So, you know, watch for that. We did see B. Rob come in and carry the ball later in the game. And he hesitate to say broke a couple of plays, but definitely was able to move the ball on the ground. I'll acknowledge that was late in the game. And then Trey Sanders came in really late in the game, and he had a couple of carries. And I continue to have high expectations for those two guys. I think we're going to have a game where just all three running backs just explode. And we're going to say, yeah, that's what we've known is there. It's good to see it. There's a part of me that wants to predict that against Ole Miss because I'm just so confident that it's there and we're about to see it. I probably want to be careful on that. But I do think we see a pretty good running game. It may not be all three guys exploding, but I think we're going to see some success in the running game against Ole Miss on Saturday. So that, good stuff to watch there. All right, so those are five things I wanted to cover in terms of a quick hit breakdown of this game. I do want to take a minute and sort of brag on and celebrate the Zoom call that we had Saturday. So, you know, this is a bonus podcast. This is the bonus team. So everyone listening to this has participated in supporting the show, and we greatly, greatly appreciate. And so we've got the All-Conference and then the All-America. One of the sort of differentiating, you know, features, if you will, benefits, if you will, is, between those two is an opportunity for a live Zoom call. And we had our first one Saturday morning. So yesterday, Texas A&M morning. I think I owe a copyright to Doug in Sweden, but he said, hey, if we're going to do it on Saturday, let's call it a virtual tailgate, which I think that was great. And so I was definitely sold on that idea. And so the first one was Saturday. The next one is next Saturday. Then we sort of get into a rotation. We've got some Thursday nights that we're going to do. And it was all about aligning dates and times that fit everyone's schedule. I would really, it was a really great conversation. It was, you know, six or seven of us, you know, coffee and football is really what it was. Really good conversation, getting to know some of you guys and you guys getting to know each other a little bit. I think that's super cool. That engagement, I'm really excited about. And we've been able to do a little bit more of that over the last couple of years. And I think we just kind of take the lid off of it with the Zoom call. So it was really a lot of fun. So I want to do two things. I did commit to providing some of these Zoom, or, you know, recording some of these calls and then providing them in the feed for all of the bonus participants. And so I think we recorded this one, and then if we have it and it's playable, then I'm going to post it and it'll come following this. So I'm just going to post it sort of as is, sort of in its raw state. Welcome to sort of intro. And so consider this the intro to that. If that drops in the feed, if it doesn't, then we had technical issues. If it does, then, you know, kind of here's the intro for that. And, you know, listen to that and think, you know, take it for what it is, right? It's, you know, five or six guys just talking football and getting to know each other, which is really cool. If, if you're interested and you're part of the All-America squad, then, you know, follow the emails that I'm sending out to that group with the times and the links and all of that information, and join us, because it was a good time. If you're not, then you're part of the, you know, the all conference crew. And I would say consider upgrading, consider joining into that group. Again, not all of the Zooms will be recorded and made available. Some will. And so you can sort of, lurk, you know, if you just want to listen to those that come out, and that's great. And we appreciate that. We don't begrudge anyone's support, at all. But if you listen to it and you say, hey, that sounds like something I want to participate in, I want to do, you know, I want to do some of those, then, don't hesitate to reach out, upgrade, the account. You can do that in your membership. We can talk you through that, if we need to. If you're concerned about the dates and availabilities, I'll tell you, we'll sort that out. We want to be, as flexible to everyone. And so we've picked a couple of dates that sort of mimic, the greatest, availability, when folks are available over, you know, the balance of the season. We're not going to hit everyone 100%, but, if we're putting times out there that you don't think work for you, then let's have that conversation. And if we need to occasionally, you know, add an extra, you know, whatever it might would be, then, you know, we can do that. We want to be accommodating in that regard. So give it a listen and, you know, consider joining at that level. Again, we really, really appreciate it. All right. I'm going to try to ease up on these hard sells, because I'm not trying to do that, but, just give everyone an opportunity to engage with us and support with us. We really look forward to that. We did get, and I should put this on the, the broader show as well. We did get, Ty Pride tickets to the last three home games of the season, Mississippi State, Auburn, and Kentucky. And I think a buddy of mine is looking to maybe come to the Kentucky game. My wife wants the Auburn game, and so right now it's looking like Mississippi State might be the game that we offer that up to the All America and All Conference. It's sort of a raffle win opportunity. So I'll put that out into the larger group as well, because that may spur some folks to join us. We'll see. But look forward to that as an opportunity as well. We did that at least once last season, and that was a lot of fun getting to meet Allen and, you know, have a few beverages before the game and hang out and such. So look forward to hopefully being able to do that again this season. A little different circumstances with the COVID and all that, but look forward to hopefully that working out. All right, I've run a little bit longer than I wanted to, but I wanted to cover, you know, the top five sort of observations: Mac, Mechie, Malachi, Daniel Wright in the running game, and then talk about the Zoom as well. So bases covered. And with that, we'll close this out. Another bonus edition of the Alabama Football Podcast. Roll Tide.